read his words, heed his signs. Can't you see these are the times? Earthquakes, famines, and pestilence are all on the rise. The love of man is waxing cold, just like the way that he foretold. With all these things now happening before our eyes, can't you feel a sense a new day dawning, rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings? Rid up your minds to be believing, prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When he comes in the clouds, each and every knee shall bow, every ear shall hear him, every eye shall see. His trump will sound, his fire will flash, as lightning shines from east to west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Our Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, Yahshua, hallelujah. Can't you feel the kingdom coming? Can't you sense a new day dawning? Rising like the morning sun with healing in his wings. Rid up your minds to be believing. Prepare your hearts to be receiving the soon to be returning Lord of
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this 90-minute live radio broadcast. Today is the 24th day of January, year 2016, and we've entitled today's program, Joseph and Jacob Israel. Before we begin this discussion, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate it to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh / Hebrew kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, welcome to the program. During the broadcast, if you have a comment or question, please send it to this email address, BYD, which of course stands for By Yahweh's Design, BYD Pastor Dan, all together, at yahoo.com. If you wish to help us with the program's financing, please go to our main website, and on the homepage, there's a button there to allow you to do that. The website is www.byyahwehsdesign.com. Now, there's a whole lot of things going on. First of all, I want to say that Andrew and Pastor Eli did a phenomenal job on Bloodlines today. I really enjoyed listening to that, as I do all the other hosts on Eurofolk Radio. I truly believe Eurofolk Radio has become the go-to place. And as Pastor Eli and Paul and others are working to bring on other hosts, more and more truth will be found at Eurofolk Radio. And that's what we want, the truth, and nothing but the truth. Many years ago when we started this radio show, that was what we dedicated it to. And I've told people that for the past 16 years. The truth and nothing but the truth. If you seek something other than the truth, you have thousands upon thousands of radio and television stations that'll tickle your ears endlessly. Tune into those. But if you want to know what's really going on, you need to come here. We got a couple verses we're going to read, and then we have a whole lot of scripture to go through, as well as current events. Only a portion of it is going to be talking about Joseph and Jacob, as they are related to in Obadiah, verse 18. A very critical verse, especially in light of the things we see happening today. And it dawned on me in prayer over the weekend, why did Father separate Jacob and Joseph in verse 18 of Obadiah? And then it came to me, I believe by inspiration, as to why our Father separated those two, and that's what we're going to discuss. Before we get into Obadiah, we'll go to Jeremiah chapter 48. At verse 10, there's an interesting verse here that you'll never hear the Judeo-Christian world talk about, and especially the Judeos, similar to one of my guests recently, and there's been others, but my interview with Christopher Bolin, he makes the statement that he's a New Testament Christian. Again, no offense. People can be whatever they want to be. But I have a bone to pick with anybody that claims they're a New Testament believer. Because Messiah himself and the rest of the apostles and writers found in the New Testament were never quoted by anybody of substance because they came later. So it was impossible. So there is no verification of anything in the New Testament other than the Catholic Church's endorsement of these letters, whereas Christ, the disciples, and other writers frequently quoted the prophets of old. For instance, when they said, "Is it not written?" Well, where was it written? So keep that in mind, folks. When people say, "I'm a New Testament this or New Testament that," there is no validity to the New Testament other than a corrupt organization known as the Catholic Church saying that those were canonized letters. Just remember that. Whereas we have the Christ himself verifying the validity of the Old Testament. Anyway, we go to Jeremiah chapter 48, and here at verse 10, we find an interesting verse. Cursed is he who does the work of Yahweh negligently. And if you look up this Hebrew word that they used here, it carries the connotation of habitually neglecting the work of Yahweh. So, cursed is he who does the work of Yahweh negligently. In other words, you habitually do not do his work. And cursed is he who keeps back his sword from blood. Now, I've noticed one thing about the so-called New Testament people. They tend to be pacifists. Even though we've pointed out in Luke 19:27 and other places in Luke where Messiah himself told them to buy a sword, where we have Peter in the garden actually pulled his sword and tried to decapitate a man. Okay, so even in the New Testament, there's evidence of the fact that There is no pacifism. It is our enemies who want us to be pacifists. It is our enemies who want us to lay down our weapons. It is our enemies who want to believe and have us believe that Christ was some sort of a pansy, and believers are pansies who just willy-nilly go walking into the Colosseum to be fed to lions. Who promotes all this garbage? Your enemy does that. They want to mentally disarm you. It's called divide and conquer, and it's called psyops, straight out of the Art of War by Sun Tzu, because it's the greatest victory for the warrior when he can defeat you without shooting an arrow. That's what the Art of War says. Today, the equivalent would be without firing a shot. So that's what your enemy's trying to do, disarm you mentally, spiritually, physically through poor health. He wants to destroy us so that it's an easy takeover. Well, I got news for you, Edomite, Zionist, cursed dogs. It's not going to be as easy as you think. So indeed, Yahweh says, cursed be you who do not do my work with diligence, and cursed be you who hold back your sword, or basically declare yourself a pansy pacifist. Oh, I wouldn't touch a gun. Oh, I would never commit violence. Really? You come into my home with the intention of harming me or my family, and I will put a bullet in you so fast it'll make your head spin. If I can't find a weapon that fires a shot, I'll find a weapon that will cut you in half. That's the attitude of a true believer. Now, I have here verse 18, and later on we're going to read the whole chapter, because I think the whole chapter is very, very appropriate. But up front, I want to just read verse 18. Obadiah only has one chapter. It's a very short book, but very significant. So in a few words, Obadiah reveals a lot. He says here at verse 18, the house, meaning the family of Jacob. Now, Jacob was later named Israel. It's the same person, though. The same person, but with a new task, a new covenant, so to speak. So the house of Jacob will be a fire. Now, the Hebrew word here is Strong's 784. And that word fire has the connotation in the original language of supernatural fire, as in Yahweh's anger. So the house of Jacob, meaning all 12 tribes, will be his supernatural fire, representing his anger. The house of Joseph, a flame. Now, Joseph, of course, is one of the 12. And we're going to read in Scripture here, Genesis 37, why is Joseph held separately from the other 12? So here we have Joseph is a flame. Now, isn't it interesting? In the Scripture, Hebrew word 3852 is what is used here. And it has the connotation of a flame in the sense that it shines as the tip of a spear. So if you read it in the English, do you get that connotation for either of these words? Do you see why the English translations are abysmal at best? Abysmal. Now I understand why William and Mary College made all of the young freshmen coming in to become pastors and preachers, because William and Mary College started out as a seminary, as did most all other universities. They made all of the freshmen be able to read, write, speak, and debate in ancient Greek, because the Septuagint was the entire Bible in ancient Greek. And if you don't know these nuances to words that are being used, you lose a lot of the value within the Scripture. It is also how your enemy convinces you of such silliness as being pacifists, and other nonsense such as Christ was a Jew. Utterly false. He was a Jehudite. Big difference. Huge difference. Christ had nothing good to say about Jews. In fact, the word Jew itself is a modern term. It has only existed a couple hundred years. So it's impossible that anybody in Scripture could have been referred to as a Jew. It did not exist. You need to do the studies. You need to approve yourself. You need to find out what the truth is, or you will be condemned already. Don't be blaming your preachers and pastors. Don't be blaming anybody else but the person you see in the mirror. Yahweh gave you a brain. He put in your heart a desire for truth. Or maybe you don't have that truth. Maybe you don't have that desire. In which case, you're part of the terrors that won't be with us much longer. And again, you need to tune in somewhere else. Because, to be honest with you, I have no desire to teach you. I have no desire to be around you. I don't want you near my foxhole because you believe a lie. You like believing the lie. So die in your lies. I want nothing to do with you. The same way Christ himself said, go into a town or a village or a city and preach this truth. And if they accept it, hallelujah, go on and teach them more. But if they reject it, knock the dirt of that town, city, or village off your sandals and keep on trucking. So we have the two houses here. Jacob, which represents all 12, is a fire, meaning they represent Yahweh's condemnation on the wicked. And we're going to find out here real soon who these wicked people are. But the house of Joseph is the shining point of a spear. Could it be that the house of Joseph will lead in this vengeance against our enemies? And as we read in Genesis 37, I'm going to tell you why I think that's important. Continuing with Obadiah 18, and the house or the tribes or the children of Esau for stubble. We've described stubble. For you folks that did not grow up on a farm, stubble is a highly combustible byproduct of hay or straw grown in the field. In other words, after the tractor and the mowers and the balers have already made up all the bales of hay, stubble's what's left on the field. Very dry, very brittle, very easily consumed. It's a little bit like the Jews, now that I think about it. Dry. Aren't they dry? No sense of humor, no compassion for humanity. Dry, dried up. They're just a shell. They look like us, but inside they are empty, just like straw. There is nothing inside. I love the scripture when you read it for what it's really saying. How descriptive of our enemy. Straw men. They take up space and look like the rest of us, but inside they're empty. No conscience, no compassion. And as Andrew Carrington Hitchcock in his book Synagogue of Satan and many other books such as Pastor Eli James's The Great Impersonation. If you don't have those books on your shelf, shame on you. And as Andrew said, so few people have ordered in the name of Yahweh. What's that say about our people? We should be ashamed. We should be ashamed. The things we spend our money on, and yet you won't support a worker at this point in time, at the end of the age, and you won't support the workers when Scripture says the workman is worth his hire, and you're not supporting them. But you're going out there to buy tickets to a professional sporting event, or buying tickets to some piece of trash movie coming out of Jew Hollywood, but you don't support the guy that did the research and put out the book. I was ashamed as Andrew was talking about that. I was ashamed. So now we have the house of Esau, meaning the descendants of Esau, who are today called Jews. They will burn among them and devour them, meaning Jacob and Joseph together will burn and devour the Jews. There will not be any remaining to the house of Esau. Now, this is in your Bibles, people. This isn't the rantings of an anti-Jew. As David James says, don't use anti-Semite, because we're the Shemites. It comes from the word Shem, and they are not Shemites. We, the white race, are the Shemites. So let's use the term as it should be, anti-Jew. So right here in Obadiah, there will not be any remaining. That means no residue, no remnant of the house of Esau. Indeed, Yahweh has spoken. So there's either a God whose name in the Hebrew tongue was Yahweh, or there is not. Either your Bible is true or it is not. You need to make up your mind. Now, if you carry that book around claiming that it justifies your false religion, and I'm talking to you Judeo-Christians or Christian Zionists, you people have your heads up your rectum so far you don't know what time of day it is. And excuse my way of putting it, but it's just a colloquialism from where I grew up, on the farm. It was just our way of saying, you don't know what's up and what's down. You don't even know what time of day it is. That's how confused you are. That's how deceived you are. So you'll have to forgive the old farmer coming out in me at times. My intentions are good. I'm trying to wake you up. So we have Joseph and Jacob representing supernatural fire, as in Yahweh's judgment. And we have Joseph as the tip of that. So let's read in Genesis 37 then. I'll try to make this quick because we're already almost a half hour into the program. Jacob, who was later named Israel for a reason, lived in the land of his father's travels in the land of Canaan. This is the history of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, the house of Joseph and the house of Israel, Jacob. He was a boy with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpha. Now, that's two of the four of Jacob's wives. Not all of his wives, two of them. And they had most of his children, by the way. Joseph brought an evil report of them to their father. In other words, Joseph ratted out his brothers. Apparently, they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing. Now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat or tunic of many colors. So now we see where the jealousy comes in. The other brothers of the house of Jacob saw that Joseph was loved more, cared for more, because he was the last of Jacob's old age. In other words, Jacob had settled down. He had become truly an elder, much wiser. And he probably saw that Joseph had qualities that the others did not. And he made him a coat of many colors. That coat, that word in the Hebrew tongue, is tunic, often worn by nobility. And the actual words mean many borders or many stripes. And we talked about this. This is followed in the tradition of the tartans of the Gaelic people, Irish, Scottish, and Welsh. Their tartans, the number of colors in their tartans represent how high up in the hierarchy they go. A commoner may have a singular color or maybe two, all the way up to six or seven colors, which represents the king and princes of the land. So Joseph was given a tunic of many colors, meaning that Jacob was pronouncing Joseph to be a leader. His brothers were jealous. His brothers saw that his father loved him more than all of his other brothers, and they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him all the more. Joseph said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves came around and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Will you indeed reign over us? Or will you indeed have dominion over us?" They hated him all the more for his dreams and for his words. He dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed yet another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to me." Well, who does the sun and moon and 11 stars? Because obviously Joseph was the 12th. So the other 11 bowed down to him. His second dream further substantiates that he is to be a leader. He told it to his father and to his brothers. His father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Will I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow ourselves down to the earth or the Eretz?" His brothers envied him, but his father kept this saying in mind. His brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Jacob Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them." He said to him, "Here I am." He said to him, "Go now, see whether it is well with your brothers and well with the flock, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. A certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. The man asked him, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for my brothers. Tell me, please, where they are feeding the flock." The man said, "They have left here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. They saw him afar off, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Behold, this dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, and let us kill him and cast him into one of the pits, and we will say an evil animal has devoured him. We will see what will become of his dreams." You see, they mocked him, did they not? They not only disliked him, were jealous of him, they even had the audacity to mock their brother. Reuben heard it. Again, Reuben being one of the 12 tribes. Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hand and said, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him," excuse me, "that he might deliver him out of their hand to restore him to his father." When Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped Joseph of his coat, the coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. In other words, their desire was that Joseph was to perish, but then they could legitimately tell Jacob that, "Well, we don't know what happened. We didn't kill him." Do you see how that deception works, even amongst our own people? Do you see that kind of thinking, how evil that is? They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites. Remember, Ishmaelites, our cousins, was going from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and not let our hand be on him, for he is our brother, our flesh." His brothers listened to him, Judah. Midianites, who were merchants, passed by, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought Joseph into Egypt. Okay, there's a little bit more that goes on here with Genesis chapter 37, but we don't need to read it. You get the picture, I hope, by now. So here we have Joseph, who is alienated by his brothers because of their jealousy that Jacob had foreseen that he was going to be a leader of his people. Joseph himself had his dreams that also told him that. What happened with Joseph? Do you remember the rest of the story? He went to Egypt as a slave. He was sold into captivity. And yet Pharaoh ended up making him what? The greatest. Second only to Pharaoh himself was so great the administrative ability and leadership qualities of Joseph. What does that tell us, people? We have many who carry the DNA of Jacob in our bodies. There are many who call themselves pure white, but there is a subset of the Caucasian Jacobites, Israelites, who have a special quality. Personally, I believe that the Parthians, whose kings all came from the Arsacid line, if you traced it back, they came from Joseph. I bet the kings and queens of old Europe and our tribes through the centuries, I'll bet you many times you will find that the leadership carried the blood of Joseph. It's a hunch. I've not done the genealogical recordings and research to prove it out, but inside me it's telling me that this is why the differentiation in Obadiah, the differentiation in Genesis 37. Joseph wore a coat of many colors. It should have been called a tunic, because both men and women of that day wore the same kind of tunics. They were the aristocrats. They were the magi, spoken of in Bible. We pronounce it magi sometimes, but the magi, which was a Parthian term for an aristocrat, a member of the ruling class, the Arsacids. Again, back to the house of David, back to Joseph. Joseph is the spearhead, the point of the spear, the flame, because a shining spear in the sunlight looks like a flame on the end of the pole. So the whole house of Jacob will be part of Yahweh's judgment against Esau, Edom. All of us. But it is the house of Joseph that leads the way. I would be willing to bet that the broadcasters here at EFR Radio, if they went back far enough, they will find the blood of Joseph in their family tree. Just a hunch, but I have a feeling. I have a feeling that most of the leaders that will come to the forefront during this battle between the children of light and the children of darkness, those leaders will have the blood of Joseph in their veins. Yahweh has spoken this. There is no way that there's anything else but this going to happen. Some people might say, well, you sound prejudicial. Yeah, I am prejudicial, because I believe in the book, and I believe in who gave us these words. And I believe in the Holy Spirit that comes from Yahweh that speaks to me. You need to pay attention, people. We have a lot of self-professed leaders amongst our people, proclaiming that they're teaching the identity message, when in fact they are imposters, interlopers, charlatans, quacks, womanizers, traitors. The leaders of our house, the leaders of the 12 tribes, will come from the Joseph tribe. And isn't it interesting that Joseph had the sons, did he not? Ephraim and Manasseh. And where did they end up? Think heavily upon that. Joseph was represented by those two sons, was he not? Who will lead the way in the returning of this world to its rightful condition, the way Yahweh intended it to be, before the usurpers showed up, before the serpent race showed up, before they went above their brother Jacob. Esau rose above Jacob for a time. And scripturally, it's a short time. It's been a long time as far as we're concerned, because now, thanks to the work of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Eli James and many others, we know the terrible deeds these people have done, hiding in the dark, changing their names. But now the revelation has begun. It is time to expose these people. Judgment is around the corner. Obadiah's prediction will come to pass. In the last show, they mentioned Luke 19:27. Again, this is New Testament stuff here, folks. Luke 19:27 is where our Messiah says, "Bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them." So all you New Testament believers, all you pansies that don't believe in guns or violence, that you're just supposed to lay there and not be involved, explain that verse to me. You know, if you want to stay in your ignorance, you have become those that would not that he rule over you. Are you aware of that? If you want to stay in your ignorance, are you aware of the fact that according to Luke 19:27, you have refused that Christ rule over you? Because Christ is what? The truth, the way, and the life. If you reject the truth, you reject the Christ. And according to Luke 19:27, you are therefore those who would refuse. These are the words of Messiah. Do you think for one second you're going to change what is meant to be because it doesn't sound right to you? Or as Christopher and others referred to, well, I don't want to believe in a God of the Old Testament because he's a God of war and of justice and vengeance. Oh my, I believe in a God of love. Oh, it doesn't just bring tears to your eyes. What pansies? I'm sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm just so sick of hearing that. When I was a youth, I would hear some in the church talk that way, and it made me ill even as a young man. It sure as hell makes me ill now that I'm an older man. There is no pacifism in Scripture. There's no pacifism in the Christ. There should be no pacifism in his children either. As we read at the top of the program, that verse that says, "Cursed is he who does the work of Yahweh negligently, and cursed is he who keeps back his sword from blood." You know what you pansies are that's amazing to me? You pansies have no problem sending other people's sons and daughters off to Afghanistan, Iraq, and all to bleed to ground red, or to take their swords out and murder innocent people. Oh, some of them people may have deserved to die, but a whole lot of them did not. We've turned our military into the club to beat innocent people up by the Zionists. So you don't have a problem sending your tax dollars to support other people's sons and daughters committing murder with their swords or guns in this day and age. You don't have a problem with that. You don't have a problem with the warmongers, the Zionists that control the basically the monkey we've got in the White House, because that's all he is, a trained monkey. He doesn't have an original thought in that head of his. And yet, and you know how I know that? Because the Jewish media is constantly trying to tell you how smart he is. Well, why are they doing that? Because he's not. He's not. He's a made man. He's been a made man all his life. Their money, their coaching, their script writers, their speech writers. He doesn't have an original thought in that head of his. And I can say that because it's true. And if somebody wants to condemn me for that, well, then bring it on, please. Please do. Bring it on. Let's go to trial. Let's bring in the evidence. Let's bring him in as a witness. And let's have him give a dissertation without a teleprompter, without a sheet of paper in front of him. Let him give a dissertation on some subject picked at random by a fair and impartial jury. Why don't we do that? Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I would wish that you could prove me wrong, but you can't. I'm sorry. I wish that everybody would wake up and seek truth and justice. That's what I truly wish. Is it going to happen? No, it's not. Take a look at this world around you. Everything that the scriptures said, and even the Dead Sea Scrolls, when it spoke of the absolute horrendous conditions at the end of the age, when the children of light would be at war with the children of darkness. But as we said, this is not all bad, people. It's just, as scripture says, the coming in of the kingdom would be as what? Childbirth. What's childbirth like? You ladies know, but are you men thinking here? You have the gestation period. You have some aches and pains that go along with that, don't you? You have things change, but then comes the time of the birth. Is it always a very pleasant experience? Not usually. None of the ones that I've been to. It's rather painful. It's a lot of pushing, a lot of sweating. Sometimes it can take hours. And so it shall be at the end of the age for the kingdom. There is pain that we have to go through. Will that pain overcome us? Absolutely not. Just as the woman in childbirth, does the pain actually kill her? And don't throw that 1 in 6 million at me where some woman died in childbirth, please. I'm talking about a normal childbirth. No, the pain is very intense at times, but it does not overcome. And then the child is brought forth. The joy on that mother's face is indescribable. And again, I'm talking about in normal conditions. And her pain is soon forgotten. So it shall be as we witness the coming in of the kingdom. Will there be pain? Yes. If you're a doer of iniquity and evil in this world, you shall suffer, and you need to suffer for what you have done and what you cover up. That's why we pray in precatory prayer and curses upon journalists, politicians, military, law enforcement, government, etc., bankers, all of them complicit in the evil that has been done in this world. Pray those imprecatory prayers continually. These people need to suffer. We read in Jeremiah chapter 51, starting at verse 19, the portion of Jacob, also known as Israel, is not like these, for he is the former of all things, and he is the tribe of his inheritance. Yahweh of armies is his name. Wait a minute. Yahweh of armies? Wow. Now I see why all you pansies, you New Testament Christians, don't want anything to do with the Bible. Because you might actually have to be a soldier. You might actually have to take a stand someday. And you cowards don't want any part of that, do you? You want to talk about all the evil. You want to write about all the evil. But you don't want to do anything about all the evil. You want somebody else to do it for you. Yahweh's judgment be upon you. Be ye doers and not hearers only of my word, saith Yahweh. Be ye doers. So you New Testament Christian Zionists, Yahweh's curses be upon you. So here again, we're hearing the portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the former of all things and is the tribe of his inheritance. That word tribe means kinsman. It's talking about us, Jacob, the true Israelites, the Caucasians. The Caucasians who believe in Yahweh anyway. So it's all descriptive, and it uses a portion of Jacob here. And at the end of that sentence in verse 19, it says, Yahweh of armies is his name. So that whole sentence was talking about our Heavenly Father, but it used Jacob, a portion of Jacob, synonymously, just as we talked about a fire and a flame in Obadiah. We are his battle axes. In fact, if we go to verse 20, that's exactly what he says. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. That's you and me, people. He commands us to be his weapons of vengeance and righteousness on this earth. He commands it. He does not suggest it, or if you feel like it someday, or if someday you actually grow a set of stones, you effeminized New Testament men out there, if you ever grow them back, you'll pick up your sword and make yourself ready. You are my battle axe and weapons of war, and with you will I break in pieces the nations. This word nations in the Hebrew tongue and even in the Septuagint is talking about races. Not countries, races. And with you will I destroy kingdoms. Now he's talking about countries. So we have races of people who are our enemies. Can you think of one that stands at the top? I know Andrew Carrington Hitchcock knows what I'm talking about. And so does Pastor Eli and David James and Laura and Chris and many, many others. So you are my battle axe and weapons of war, and with you I will break in pieces the races of people if they choose to be our enemies. And with you will I destroy governments or kingdoms. And with you will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. Or you guys out there in your MRAP Humvees, basically, your armored vehicles, your tanks, your microwaves, your mobile missile carriers, etc., your horse and the rider. You see, when this was written, a member of the cavalry was considered the most formidable thing on a battlefield, especially if he was heavy cavalry, meaning he had lots of body armor. Cavalry could ride over soldiers, foot soldiers, fairly easily. They were the most feared. And yet it says here, I will break in pieces the horse and the rider. I don't know how Yahweh's going to do it, but I know he's going to destroy your modern mechanized armies. All the propaganda wants us to sit here in fear of you people, you New World Order, or should we say Jew World Order. You want us to be afraid of you. I don't fear any of you. Now, a lot of people say, well, Daniel, you're foolish. Really? Really? I like to think of myself in a way as the Daniel in the Bible that I read about, who stood in the lion's den. Now, humanly speaking, that's pretty fearful, isn't it? To be put into a den full of hungry lions, that's pretty fearful. To be put in a world full of hungry, mad, homicidal Jews who can never have enough power or money, isn't that the same as being put into a lion's den? This whole area, Eretz, called Earth, this protected domed area called Earth, and it is. You were put in here with a bunch of lions, ravenous wolves called Jews. They are the bane of all that is good in this world. And it's not the Jews alone, because they have many proselytes. They have many people who take their blood money and do their bidding. And yet Yahweh says, as he told Daniel, fear not. And Daniel did not fear. Why? Because Yahweh shut the mouths of those lions. And Daniel came out unscathed. Now, if Yahweh wishes, I can be sacrificed at any time. And I know that. I'm just a man. And I've got my ups and downs, my goods and bads, like any other man. But my faith is 100% in my Father. It's not in the arm of flesh. It's not in politics. It's not in political parties. It's not even in armament. Because if Yahweh be for us, who can stand against us? That's what the scripture says. And Jeremiah, I love Jeremiah. That's why I named one of my sons after that prophet, the weeping prophet, the young prophet, because he tells us so many of these things. And now I see why you pansies don't want to touch the Old Testament. I don't blame you, because if you did, you might actually have to do something. You might actually have to prepare. You might have to go out and buy a gun or two. You might have to have a sword or a battle axe or a spear. You might actually get blood on you. You might actually have to take a life of your enemy. That's pretty scary stuff. That's why you sit in your homes watching your football and drinking your beer while you think somebody else should go do the dirty deeds. Jeremiah 51. Now, we talked about the critical part of Jeremiah, but let's see what else was in chapter 51 that might apply to today. Yahweh says, "Behold, I will raise up against Babylon." Oh, how about that? Babylon, meaning confusion caused by admixture, meaning confusion caused by mixing things that don't belong together, such as the Jews push homosexuality. That's an aberration. The Jews push race mixing. That's an aberration. The Jews push the pharmaceutical industry, which is drugs used in sorcery and black magic. That's what pharmakia means. Well, that's confusion, because we're supposed to use the herbs and the plants and the things that Yahweh put in. And it goes on and on and on. Just read Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's books. You can read the travesties of Babylon. But it says here, Yahweh says, "I will raise up against Babylon and against those who dwell in Lebkaima a destroying wind." Are they destroyers? Well, that's what the Christ told us they were, talking about the Jews. "I will send to Babylon strangers who shall winnow her, and they shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble, they shall be against her all around." You've allowed all these aliens to flood in on the white nations, Jews. Your idea was to divide and conquer. Let other people do your dirty work for you. Weaken us with miscegenation, rape, crime, theft. But it says here that those that you put in here to do harm to the white race are going to turn around and do harm to you. Can you see that beginning to happen? Yeah, it is starting to happen. That's why record numbers of Jews are leaving France right now. You can run, you can try to hide, but you're not going to be able to hide, folks. But you go ahead and do it, because you're Jews. That's what you do anyway, even if it does go against logic, common sense, and even human nature. Doesn't matter to you people, because your chutzpah, your gall, is beyond belief. "Against him who bends, let the archer bend his bow, and against him who lifts himself up in his coat of mail." You see, they put all these modern military people around them that they bought with all their blood money, and they think that that makes them invincible. Yahweh says here, no, it doesn't. "And do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy all her army." You men and women in uniform that do the bidding of these Antichrist Jews, for their blood money, their shekels of silver they put in your pocket, their promises of promotion, their promises of pensions. You're part of her army when you do that. What's it say in Scripture? "Come out of her, my beloved, that you do not partake of her plagues." That goes for you people in uniform too. "They shall fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans and thrust through in her streets. For Israel is not forsaken," that means us, the children of Jacob, "nor Judah of his God of Yahweh of armies. Though their land is full of guilt against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the middle of Babylon and save every man his life." Are you paying attention, Jacob Israel? "Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for it is the time of Yahweh's vengeance. He will render to her a recompense." You Babylonians, enjoy your enslavement of mankind, because it's coming to an end. Babylon has been a golden cup in Yahweh's hand, who made all the earth drunk. Look at the insanity going on today. It just never ends. Are they drunk? The nations, meaning the peoples, not the countries, the different races on the planet have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. All of you who drink the wine of Babylon, this international financier Jewish Rothschild Khazarian Empire, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. We read that in Revelations a couple shows ago, did we not? Babylon is destroyed in 1 hour, meaning in the Greek language, a short period of time. Wail for her. Take balm for her. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country, for her judgment reaches to heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. Yeah, all you aliens that have been sent into the white nations of the world, I hope you're paying attention. You were given rights, you were made equals. Look what's happened in the white country called the United States of America. Thanks to Jewish machinations within our government and other non-governmental agencies, they've turned us into a polyglot of all kinds of people. And then we're told that they're equal to us. No, they're not. That doesn't mean that Yahweh wants me to go out and destroy them, but they're not equal to us in any way, shape, or form. Physiologically-wise, they're not. Their bodies aren't like ours. Ask anybody that's been in the field of medicine. Do you give out drugs or any kind of medicine whatsoever, irregardless of race? Well, if you want a malpractice suit, you do. They're not the same of us as us, scripturally speaking. Yahweh says Israel was his peculiar people. Even the word Celt comes from the Greek word Keltoi, which means peculiar people. So the Celts, the Goths, the Visigoths, the Scythians, the Parthians, and on and on and on. Yahweh's special people. Verse 10, Yahweh has produced our righteousness. Come, let us declare in Zion the work of Yahweh, our Elohim God. Make sharp the arrows. Hold firm the shields. Yahweh has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, because his purpose is against Babylon, to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of his temple. Set up a standard against the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong. Set the watchman. Eurofolk Radio. Prepare the ambushes, for Yahweh has both purposed and done that which he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. You who dwell on many waters, abundant in treasures, woe, your end has come, the measure of your covetousness. Yahweh of armies has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill you with men as with the canker worm, and they shall lift up a shout against you. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding has he stretched out the heavens. Can you say a protected area called earth? When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings the wind out of his treasuries. Every man has become brutish without knowledge or wisdom or truth. He's talking about our people here today, isn't he? Every goldsmith is disappointed by his image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them, no life, no spirit. They are vanity, a work of delusion. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob, woe, is not like these. For he is the former of all things and is of the tribe or the race of his inheritance. Yahweh of armies is his name. And here again, you are my battle axe and weapons of war, and with you will I break in pieces the nations, and with you will I destroy kingdoms, and with you will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with you will I break in pieces the chariot and him who rides therein. Chariots today would be what? Oh, that's right, battle tanks, armored vehicles. And with you will I break in pieces man and woman, meaning humankind that are in disobedience to Yahweh, just as it says in Luke 19, verse 27. Bring those that would not that I rule over them hither, and slay them before me. There is no difference between the old and the new, folks, as far as the Bible's concerned. It's all one book. And with you will I break in pieces the old man and the youth. And with you will I break in pieces the young man and the virgin. And with you will I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. And with you will I break in pieces the farmer and his yoke. And with you will I break in pieces governors and deputies. I will render to Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion and in your sight, says Yahweh. How about that? You evildoers, are you paying attention? Behold, I am against you, destroying mountains, says Yahweh, which destroys all the earth, and I will stretch out my hand on you and roll you down from the rocks, and will make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take of you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but you shall be desolate forever, says Yahweh. Set up a standard in the land. Blow the trumpet amongst the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms of Ariat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal against her. Meaning like a general, huh? Cause the horses to come up as the rough cankerworm. Prepare against her the nations, the kings of the Medes, its governors, and all its deputies, and all the land of their dominion. The land trembles and is in pain, for the purposes of Yahweh against Babylon do stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They remain in their strongholds. Their might has failed. They are become as women. Their dwelling places are set on fire. Her bars are broken. I'll let you read the rest of that chapter. Again, that's Jeremiah chapter 51. So in light of all the things that we hear and see going on today, I find it quite interesting what our prophets have told us, Obadiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It's interesting at the very end of that chapter, thus shall Babylon sink and shall not rise again because of the evil that I will bring on her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So the Edomites, Zionist, atheist, Antichrist Jews, their nefarious deeds are coming to light everywhere. Everywhere you turn, more and more sources are outing the Jews for what they have done. Is this the time? Does make you wonder, doesn't it? You know, you hear a lot of these pontificating false teachers talk about the day of tribulation as if it's in the future and all this other stuff. You don't think we've been in tribulation, people? Have you ever taken note of the multitudes of millions of innocent people that have died in the last century by the hands of their own governments? What are governments now? Oh, that's right. They're beasts. In the Bible, they're referred to as beasts because the first thing a government wants to do is establish rules and regulations that keep them in power. just like a wild beast. It kills the innocent so it can live. Government, as a beast, will kill anybody to keep the government going. It's what governments do. That's why the founding fathers of the United States of America did not want that to happen here. That's why they said it was for, by the people. Of the people, for the people, and by the people. We, the people, are the government. That's why when we established our government here, we had public servants. And they had to take an oath of office so that they understood that they are simply public servants. Not masters. Servants. And when they violate that document and that oath of office, they have become outlaws, usurpers. Remember that. I would like to remind all of my brothers and sisters of Jacob Israel, the white race, the true Israelites, the believers in our Heavenly Father, now is the time to be thinking about solutions to our problems. And the most important thing to be thinking about right now for the true believers is the verses that say, come out of her, my beloved. Doesn't say, come out of her, my cursed. Come out of her, those who would not that I rule over them. No, it says, my beloved. Who are the beloved of Father? His children who have the faith and obey his laws. Come out of her, my beloved. Come out of this Babylonian system in every way imaginable. Wherever Father opens a door, you run through it. And he will open a door, folks. He did not abandon us. And yeah, in human terms, this seems to have been taking a long time in coming. But in his time, this is very swift. Just as my life, I mean, I've been walking this earth for 62 years. It seems like a flash in a pan. It really does. It's amazing to me. So we know that as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be at the end of the age. And so it is. The people around Noah and his family were reprobate in every way imaginable. And they are today in this world. Reprobates. I heard there's a big hullabaloo over a same-sex couple having a child together. Well, a same-sex couple can't have a child. That's why homosexuality is condemned in the Bible. Modern science can allow artificial insemination, but the very word artificial ought to tell you whether it's condoned by Father. Father doesn't condone anything artificial. Prepare your arks, folks. We know that we live amongst liars and thieves because I found it to be so ludicrous. Here in the state of Florida, they had I don't even know what it's called. What is it, a Powerball or one of those goofy where you buy the ticket. I don't ever buy them, but you buy a ticket, you're supposed to win all kinds of money. Well, that Powerball had reached something like $1.3 billion. And you know what's really absolutely mind-blowing about that? Because the average simpleton out there can't differentiate between billion, million, and trillion. They just can't. They don't even care. But for the thinking people, they should pay attention to things like that because there's a big difference. It's the same thing when you study Scripture. Those little nuances can make a big, big difference. So when you go from millions to billions, it's a factor of 1,000. It takes 1,000 million to make a billion. And the same thing when you go to 1 trillion. It takes 1,000 billion to make a trillion. So $1 trillion is $1 million million. Do you realize how much money that is? No, you don't. Go back to sleep. So they have this Powerball that's worth $1.3 or so billion dollars. Do you realize, folks, that if we really cared about poverty, if we really cared about the people, if we really cared about the economy, you could take that one jackpot and divide it amongst every man, woman, and child in America and make them instant millionaires. Something like $4 million for each man, woman, and child. So if you're a household with four people in it, you would have approximately $16 million. Now, do you think you could afford to educate your children properly in a private school if you had $16 million? Do you think you might have a slightly better home, possibly an upgrade to your car? Instead of watching all these welfare recipients driving Cadillacs and Audis, maybe you, simpleton white, you might be able to get rid of that Chevy and move up to, say, a better Chrysler, or hope, what the hell, go for a Cadillac if you had $16 million. But you'll never have that. The Jew will make sure you don't. Where does most of that money go for all these idiotic gambling things anyway? It goes to the people that run it and the advertisers. And let's see. I'll give you three guesses as to the ethnicity of the people who are making the millions and billions of dollars in these various gambling activities. So you struggle, you stand in long lines to buy the damn tickets, when if we had people running this nation, the true biblical monarchy as we should, they could take that pile of money and divvy it up, and we would end all entitlement programs, because if you got $16 million, you sure as hell don't need welfare. You sure as hell don't need workman's comp. You sure as hell don't need unemployment insurance. In other words, you don't need a whole hell of a lot of the government you got wrapped around your head right now, do you? There goes the reason why you will never see that happen, because this is all a show, people. The beast isn't going to allow you independence, ever. Ever. The beast controls the money system. In the United States, it's the Federal Reserve, always headed up by Jews. The regional banks, headed up by Jews. Our nation's intelligence agencies, headed up by Jews. The people in the White House, headed up by Jews. The people in the Congress, if they're not Jews, they're dictated to by Jews. And I got that straight from the horse's mouth. So don't tell me it's a hearsay thing. No, there's no hearsay. If it was hearsay, they would be coming after me for saying so. They don't come after me for saying that because it's true. Now, someday they may want to ignore Yahweh's commandment that touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. So saith Yahweh. They may want to come across Yahweh and basically spit in his face and try to do his prophets harm. They may. And they may succeed in my case. That's okay, too. Because in the end, what Yahweh will do to them is far, far worse than whatever they think they're going to do to me or to any of the other watchmen on the wall. I know that. I sleep good at night knowing my father has much more hurt and pain to bring upon them than they could ever even conceive of bringing upon me. This temple of flesh, it's rotting away anyway. It's only here for a short period of time at best. What's inside, they cannot touch. The same goes for you. They want you to worry about life. I saw it on an advertisement here the other day. Live longer. On television, I think it was. Live longer. We have another drug, always with some goofy Latin name to it. And they have to tell you even how to pronounce it. It's so diabolical. And, of course, there's this giant list of side effects. But the idea behind it and is being pushed is live longer, even though you would have healthy bodies if you had real food and drank clean water and had clean air to breathe. But we're not going to talk about that because the beast doesn't want to change that because they make a lot of money off your illness. You see how crazy it is, people? This could be a paradise as Yahweh intended. if the righteous would just stand up instead of cowering in fear before these Zionist dogs. Oh, they've got money, but that's all they've got. They don't really have any real friends, because if their money disappeared, they'd find out the world really doesn't have any respect for them. They really don't have any military to speak of, because the Israeli soldiers are, excuse my colloquialism, they ain't jack shit. They're cowards. They're dirty. They're liars. They're murderers, as Joe Cortina and many of my guests have told me, that actually lived over there. No, there's nothing decent about these people. That's why they put so much money into these Christian Zionist preachers to keep preaching and preaching and preaching in spite of the empirical evidence that's all around you that says the Jew is nothing but a dirty bum. Liars, misfits, thieves, murderers, warmongers, every one of them. The Baal priests, the Jimmy Swaggarts, the John Hagees, etc. That's what they are, Baal priests. It's their job to constantly tell you that the Jew is of the Bible, and that somehow the Jew is going to miraculously convert at the last minute. So for the centuries and centuries and centuries that they've been raping and robbing and murdering, we're just going to overlook that, because someday they're going to convert. Really? Let's see. Where in the Bible does it tell me that a murderer is to be set free because he's a Jew? I've read the Bible quite a few times, and it's not in there. Where does it say the kidnapper is to be set free because he's a Jew? That's not in there either. Well, okay, the extortionist is not to be punished because he's a Jew. Well, nope, that's not in there either. Or the sex slave trade dealer that's Jewish gets set free. That's not in there either. Wow. Okay, so the Bible says that murderers, kidnappers, traitors, etc., homosexuals, those that would charge usury, are all to be executed. Well, they're telling you, these Zionist preachers, that, well, that's true except for the Jews. They get a pass. Really? Well, preacher, you explain that to me, because in the Word, it does not say that. And if Christ himself formed a whip out of cords that he found around about him, and he beat the money changers out of the temple, he didn't give them a free pass, because the Jews were in there trying to make a profit off of the rituals, the Old Testament rituals of the Israelites. He beat them out of that temple. Beat them with a whip. He didn't give them a free pass. He didn't say, you're my brothers and sisters, and someday you're going to repent and come back to me. No, he said, you're detestable as your father Satan is. You do the works of your father too. And he beat them with a whip. The preachers that preach this damnation, this absolutely abominable mythology that Christ was a Jew, and that Jews are somehow going to convert when there's no truth in it whatsoever, and that because of that, they get a pass. No, they get a pass because the Jews make sure those ministries get big chunks of blood money. They get a pass because our military's bought off with blood money. They get a pass because our intelligence agencies are bought off with blood money. They get a pass because your pieces of garbage called congressmen are bought off with Jew blood money. They get a pass because your so-called news agencies and journalists get a pass because they, too, have been bought off with blood money. It's no different than it was in the days of Christ. Why did Jesus preach in parables? Because the Jews were lurking around, and he didn't want them to figure out what the children of Israel were supposed to know. Why did Jesus go off into the crowds and hide out? Because of the terrible power of the Jew. Even in his day, they sought to kill anybody telling the truth and trying to bring justice and peace to this earth. Nothing's changed. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing's changed. You've got the children of light and the children of darkness. You decide which camp you want to be in, people. because time is running out. His judgment is coming. The point of that spear, that flame, that Ezekiel 37 army is growing. And all this modern garbage that these armies have isn't going to change one thing. That's a mind game to keep you afraid. And I received something just before airtime, and I have not had a chance to look into it, but I find it quite interesting, and it was sent to me by various people that I have trusted over the years. Now, this is supposedly something put forth by General Joseph Dunford of the United States Marine Corps. He's the 36th Commandant. He's also chairman of the Joint Chiefs. A message to all sovereign citizens of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America. That's little u and little s, United States. We observe today not a victory or a celebration of freedom. We observe today as an end as well as a beginning, signifying a new dawn as well as change. For I have sworn before you in this great nation the same solemn oath our forefathers decreed nearly two centuries ago. The world is in a downward spiral of hate, greed, deceit, corruption, and tyranny. The human race holds the power to abolish all forms of negative commands, and yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forefathers fought for are at peril at home and around the globe. Now, General Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, very succinctly put the condition of the world. That does not, however, say what they're going to do about it, and so I'm not even going to hazard a guess. But I find it interesting that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff made a statement like that, or at least it's purported that he did, and I have no proof, yay or nay, on that matter. Things are happening, though. I do know that. I get that from too many sources for it not to be true. And I do know what the Word says, and I do know what the Holy Spirit says. There is change coming, all right. It's going to be very, very bad for the wicked. It's going to be very, very good in the end for the righteous. Your choice is which camp do you want to be in? Do you want to believe the liars and the whitewashed sepulchers called churches today, those Baal priests? Or do you want to tune into the truth? Seek ye the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And indeed it shall. But you have to seek it. You have to yearn for it. You have to desire it over the lies and delusions and deceptions of the antichrists. Choice is yours, people. And remember, Father loves you. He does not turn a son or a daughter away when they earnestly seek his guidance and his forgiveness. It can't happen. He is true, folks. You and I are the weak links in the chain, not our Father. He is true to his word. I've lived it. Pastor Eli's lived it. The other hosts have lived it. Many of my friends and associates have lived it. We are living testimonies to the power of Yahweh and the truths that he teaches. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be with everybody today. We'd ask you to go with your sons and daughters, enlighten them, encourage them, and give them strength, and give them good discernment, Father, to see through all the lies and deceptions. Be with the brave soldiers that are making that switch. Be with those in journalism and in the churches and all that are coming out of Babylon. Gather us together, Father Yahweh, and return and take your throne and lead this righteous army to destroy the wicked one and all of his children. We ask these things in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah.